Well, we have been studying Jesus' Sermon on the Mount for several weeks now, and we find ourselves this morning at the close of his message. And to be certain, as we've studied through it, we see that he had captured the ears of those who gathered to hear him. We find at the very close of Matthew 7, and it says 28, "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as having one as one having authority and not as a scribe." So they were really struck by them, what Jesus had said. And now we see Christ, as he did a little earlier in the message as well, wanting them to understand that just listening was not enough. He says, time for action, because action makes a profound difference. To illustrate what he's saying, he tells them a parable, and one we would do well to heed as well. Matthew 7, 24 and following. Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and heat and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." When he started his sermon, he started talking about blessings, the blessings of God, the blessings that come from following God. And as he ministered through the word, his word, he wove the promises of God in and out to those who sought God. And if you read the Gospels with a keen eye, you will see that Jesus believes in the blessings of knowing God and living a fulfilled life in Christ, to really know Christ and enjoy a wonderful life. But he also understands that we live in a fallen world, a fall that began in the Garden of Eden and continues today. And he's keenly aware of that. And in a fallen world, he knows that we will experience storms, often called the storms of life. And every one of us has had our share. That's just a reality. And while Christ acknowledges the storms, he gives a promise as well. When you listen and apply the word of God to your life, you will make it through the storm. You will be standing at the end. And when you go through the storms of life with Jesus, over time you find that several things occur. The first is, in knowing him and being with him is security. You survive the storm and you're kept safe in the midst of the storm from the things that can wreck your life and wreck your faith in God. And the second thing is strength and faith for future storms. When Christ takes you through a storm, the storms of life, he not only protects you, but he uses that storm to strengthen your faith and trust in him. When you go through a storm and you keep close to God, close to Christ, you begin to understand and see his hand on your life. And for future storms, you remember that, and you are strengthened and stronger from it. And maybe one of the perhaps the most important things we gain from riding out the storm with Jesus is wisdom. Christ said it was the wise person who listens and obeys his words. The foolish person ignores them, ends up having their faith and their life crash around them. But the wisdom that's gained as you go through life with Christ. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at verse 13 and the following verses, and Christ talked about the entering a narrow gate. And we saw there were two gates, two ways, and two destinies, that there are choices that we make in life. And he encouraged us, of course, to follow God, to follow his way. And now he mentions two men, two houses, and two foundations. And the wise builder dug deep, went through the sand, broke up the hard ground if need be, and built on the rock. And he said the foolish man built on the sand. And we know that Scripture calls Jesus the rock. He's this unmovable rock of our faith, this unmovable rock of knowing God, this unmovable rock that will carry us through every storm in life. He's the rock of our salvation and the very foundation we have with our Father God. And that foundation starts with knowing Jesus, becoming born again, accepting him and the finished work on the cross. But the foundation in reality is much more than that. If you think that your foundation is just getting born again, that it's enough, that our foundation is more than that. We begin to build on that knowledge of knowing who God is. The absolute bottom of your foundation, I believe, is being born again. And that's the very beginning, but your foundation doesn't stop there. The deeper the foundation on a structure, the stronger the structure is. The largest buildings have the deepest and largest foundations. So part of our life and growing in Christ is not just building the house, if you will, but building that foundation before you even build the house, to build on that, and then to build in the maturity of God wants you. And if you think about his parable, it takes time to build a strong foundation. It's a process. You dug deep. You found the rock. You didn't just throw the house up on the sand somewhere. You took time and you prepared it. And that's our way in our life. It takes time sometimes to build this foundation in God. In verse 24, he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Whoever hears and does. They were amazed at his teaching, but he wanted that in a sense, if you will, but that's not enough. Don't get all excited about what he has to say and go on and live your life like nothing changed. To do the things of God. It's not only hearing his words, but putting them into practice. And hearing and doing the word of God, what builds that sure foundation, that strong foundation. To be excited about the word of God, to embrace the word of God, but to do the word of God. Allow it to change your life, to alter your life. And building that sure foundation and building on it helps maintain what's already been built. Any homeowner knows in a very short period of time that homes need maintenance. Things start to wear away. Even the finest homes and the greatest buildings need maintenance. And left unattended, what started out as a small crack in the foundation or a little peeling of paint eventually creates a serious problem. And so in the same sense, we can't just get born again and live our life like nothing's changed. It's accepting Christ and saying, "I want you in every aspect of my life." And maybe that's where we miss it. We typically prepare for a storm. In Northeast Ohio, we know about storms. And if a storm's coming, we'll put the proper clothing on, make sure the tank's full of gas, and we'll head out if need be. Or we'll button down the house and batten down the hatches, and we stay in and weather the storm. But we prepare for a storm. And sometimes we do that in life as well. We see a storm coming, and maybe then we decide to kind of seek God out. But you know, the reality is we don't prepare much for a simple shower or a cold day. We just kind of head out in it. But even a shower or a cold day in this weather, if you will, can create those little problems in life that left unattended cause greater problems. And every once in a while, we encounter a storm that seems to come out of nowhere. You're going along in life just fine, cruising along, and all of a sudden this storm seems to come out of nowhere where someone or something creates a drastic change in the weather of your life. And you find yourself in this storm. Storms we create, storms that we get by living in a fallen world, and some storms somebody else brings in our life. And sometimes they come out of nowhere. But notice how Jesus describes the storms of life. Verse 24, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat in that house." We see three things here. The rains descended, pressure from above. The floods came, pressure from below. The winds blew, pressure from all around. And not that we want to pick all that apart, but sometimes it seems like storms are coming from everywhere, don't they? And he's saying those storms can come in many ways and many types, and they can hit you and they can be very damaging. And what he's saying here is our faith will be tested. A faith that is not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. A faith without being tested is only lip service. We can say we have great faith. We can say we love God and we love the Word and everything's great. But boy, sometimes when the storms come, I have found in my life and in others' lives, that's when the reality shows up. That's when the truth is exposed. You know, our faith is never tested in the sunshine, but our faith is tested in the storm. And that's what we find out. And that's why it's so important to build a strong foundation for when the storm is going to come. A strong foundation is not moved by life's storms. A strong foundation is not moved by life's circumstances. Because circumstances come and circumstances go. And if you get your theology from circumstances, sooner or later you're going to conclude that God doesn't love you. If you allow your theology to be developed through your circumstances, sooner or later you're going to conclude that God doesn't love you. Why is this happening to me? Woe is me. What did I do? Where'd this come from? And if you get your theology from circumstances, you will be moved by the circumstances. And when the circumstances, many of which will bring a storm, change, so does your theology. So I don't want circumstances to develop my life or my theology. I want the Word of God to develop my foundation. Think about two different apostles, Peter and Judas. Both experienced storms in their life. Judas was a treasurer. He was the one that seemed like he could be trusted. Peter was the one that was always saying and doing things that were like, are you kidding me, Peter? Oh, that's just Peter. I mean, you could imagine. He was the impetuous one. He got his foot in his mouth more times than not. This guy's like, wow, Peter, you'd never know where he's, you know? Judas seemed like, man, he's, you know, give him the money. He's trustworthy. And outwardly, these men looked the same. They were in the same ministry, if you will. They went through similar storms of life. They were together in things. And when the storm hit Judas, temptation came with it. And realize that storms will always bring temptations. Do I bail? What's happening here? Where's God? Storms bring temptations. A storm of lust will bring temptation. A storm of greed will bring temptation. A storm of anger will bring temptation. On and on we could go. But Judas fell. His storm was filled with greed and with fear. It was a storm of betrayal, remorse, and guilt, and finally, a suicide's grave. His bottom fell out. His life caved in, and he collapsed. And then there was the storm of Peter. Gospels tell us that Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed your faith will not fail. That's a remarkable statement. And I suspect, given the chances, Satan will sift each and every one of us like wheat to pull our lives apart. Christ knew that Peter had faith for the storm. He knew a lot about Peter. He understood Peter. But he also saw that Peter had faith, and he prayed for Peter. It doesn't mean he didn't pray for Judas, but he prayed. And he'll pray for you. And then there was a day for the disciples when the theological training was coming to a close. Disciples were about to have their finals, if you will. One day Christ asked them a final question, who do people say that I am? Some say you're Elijah, others say you're John the Baptist, others say you're one of the prophets, and Jesus said to Peter, who do you say I am? And he will ask each and every one of us that same question. And I'd rather answer it now, on this side of the grass, that you are Christ, the Son of God, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. That's just a reality. But even in our life today, he asks us, who do you say I am? Am I your Savior or Lord and Savior? Are you submitted to me in all things? And so he says to Peter, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. Peter had a rock to stand on. Christ, the rock, the knowledge that the Savior had come and he's there and can be trusted. Peter wasn't a rock. It was the rock of knowing that he's the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. And a storm came to Peter. He saw the crucifixion of Christ. He saw the soldiers, everybody scatter. His world was coming apart. The rains of hell fell. The floods of doubt came. The wind of worry blew. Confusion and fear surrounded Peter. And yet at the end, he remained standing. He did not have a suicide grave. He remained standing. When Christ came to Peter after his resurrection, Peter was renewed because he knew that rock. He had built that foundation. And God used the storm in Peter's life to strengthen him. Peter, who was fearful, became very bold, accomplished much for God the remaining years of his life. He strengthened Peter in that storm. He allowed him to see more of who God was and how much God is there for him. And he will do the same with each and every one of you. Storms come to everybody. That's just the reality. Storms will come to you and storms will come to me. None of us like it. But it's the reality of living in a fallen world. And what will you do when the bottom falls out? What will you do when the storm comes? Will you fall or will you stand? And the only way to really know the answer to that question is to know where your foundation is. To know about your foundation. Now, I suspect that every one of us here loves a walk on the beach. Am I right? I mean, who doesn't want to walk on the beach? Ocean there, wind's blowing, the surf is sounding. I mean, it's just, I mean, book me now, you know? I will go now and you can finish the sermon, all right? I mean, I'm ready, you know? But if you walk on the beach where the sand is real soft and it's hard to walk. It's mushy. Have you ever been there? And it's, after a while, your feet get a little tired trying to... I mean, sand moves. Sand's, if it's not packed down, it's hard to walk on. Jesus said, verse 26, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat in that house, the same storm, if you will, and it fell, and great was its fall. Two men, two houses, two foundations. You know, you build two houses, identical houses, side by side. One on a sand foundation, one on a rock foundation. If you walked up to those two houses, you would not be able to tell the difference until a storm came. And that's when you would see the difference. The storm reveals the foundation. That's the reality. And why do people cave in? They cave in, they collapse because they have nothing to stand on. They're all house and no foundation. They have profession and not possession. They don't possess the Word of God. They don't understand the Word of God. They don't know that rock. Every once in a while, you'll be driving along and you'll come across a house under construction but apparently ran out of money. It's been left alone for a while and it shows. The wood darkens and deteriorates. The weeds come up around the house. It's beginning to fall apart. You can see it's not finished, and you can just tell there's a problem with that house. And a house under construction does not allow this. The workman returns to the house and finds some damage from a storm. He repairs it immediately. Why? Because that house has a destination. It has a purpose. It's not abandoned. It's under construction, and it's on its way to something beautiful. It will become a strong, secure, and warm shelter in all weather. And that's the life of a consistent follower of Christ. One who has a strong foundation in Christ is being built into a mature and beautiful person. So you start with the foundation and accepting Christ as your Lord. You build on that foundation as you grow and mature in Christ. And when the foundation is strong and secure, you start to build a house. And when a little trouble comes, a little problem happens, Jesus comes along and does a repair. He's that workman who comes and says, what about this over here? Look what happened in this storm. Look what happened here. And he repairs it because he's there with you every day. Isaiah 28, 16, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It's a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken. Christ is that tried stone, that precious cornerstone, the one that all measurements are derived from. They set a cornerstone of the building when they built in, and they would take that stone, and from that stone, everything was measured off of that. Everything was built off of that sure foundation, that tried cornerstone, Christ in our life and our salvation. The rock upon which our faith, our very salvation, rests. Have you checked your foundation lately? Have you looked at, do you need a little repair in your life? Have the storms of life, the trials of life, worn away at your foundation? Has a recent or distant storm caused some damage that has been overlooked? Do you have some hurt or some pain or some frustration or some anger or some untrust or unforgiveness and you haven't dealt with it? Has something happened in your life that changed the way you see yourself, your family, or God, and you haven't dealt with it? You're under construction. God has not left you. It's time to do a little repair work. Your enemy devil will take advantage of the damage and lie to you. You can't get past this. You're not who you say you are. You're not a true believer. You don't know God. You don't hear from God. You don't understand God. You don't have this. You don't have that. All these lies. And Jesus, by his very nature, is a redeemer restorer. I've said that for years. We stood before the Father. In fact, we couldn't stand before the Father because we had sin in our life. And Jesus said, you belong to the devil, your father the devil. And he bought you back. He redeemed you. And he restored your relationship as if you've never sinned. That's the beauty of the gospel. He took that house of yours that was in disrepair and fallen down and a wreck and gave you that foundation you needed and did all the repair and is continuing to repair your life. And so wherever you find yourself weathered and beaten by the storms of life, he wants to redeem and restore your life. That's his nature. He's a master craftsman. Today's the day to turn to him and seek healing and restoration if need be. If you don't know Jesus, today is the day to turn to him. Yield your life to him to allow him to establish that sure foundation in your life. Because we never want to go through life not sure of our foundation. And even when you know Christ and say, I've got that foundation, sometimes you've got to do a little walk around the house. Is there a crack here? There's some peeling paint here. Something that needs to be caulked. Something that needs to be repaired. Jesus is a repairer. So as we go into worship in a moment, allow God to speak to your heart. If you don't know him, allow him to come fully into your life. If you've slipped away from him, recommit your life. And if you know God and you're doing okay with God, but you've got some issues that haven't been dealt with, don't leave here today without dealing with them. Don't leave here today without the master craftsman looking at your life and doing the repair. I invite the worship team to come forward. As the worship team is coming forward, we're getting some kind of signals over there. Okay. I'll just move on, act like I didn't even see that, you know. We've gone through the Sermon on the Mount. Think about what it's taught us. We need to build our life on what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. We need to be doers of his word. Instead of hate and murder, build your life on forgiveness. Instead of revenge and getting even, build your life on reconciliation. Instead of being consumed by pornography and lust, build your life on respect and honor. Instead of giving up on your life or your mates or your marriage and divorcing for non-biblical reasons, build your life on faithfulness and love. Instead of being evasive and deceptive, be truthful, committed to the truth. Instead of hating your enemies, build your life on prayer for them. Instead of being just outwardly religious, build your life deeply seated with a deep-seated devotion to Christ. Instead of dedicating your entire life to the accumulation of personal wealth, build eternal values into your heart and the hearts of your children and family. Instead of worrying your way through life, build your life in a firm trust in the caring hand of God. Instead of always judging and being suspicious of others, build your relationships on loving acceptance. Sounds like a long list. How do we do that? Only through Christ. Starting with him as the foundation, allowing him to adjust and repair if need be. Let's stand and worship our God.